So my name is Tim Huang. I was a member of the Awesome Foundation Boston, which is the first chapter that was playing around with some of this. And Elizabeth, if you want to just jump in if I'm missing anything. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Keep going.
Sorry. So the Austin Foundation was started about a year or more ago right now. And the original idea was to respond to two things. One of them was the fact that there's a lot of opportunities for getting a lot of money, right? You know, your Knight Foundations of the world and what have you. But actually, it's fairly difficult to get a fairly modest sum of money, right, like $1,000. And that, you know, not every project needs $100,000. In fact, a lot of things can be done with a fairly small amount of resources. And so one of the things that we were responding to with the Awesome Foundation was kind of that need, right? Like the fact that there's no structure for funding the projects that kind of exist in this sort of both experimental space, but also potentially in this more test or prototyping type phase. And so that was one thing that we wanted to create the Awesome Foundation for. And the second one was a lot of foundations are sort of, to manage those large sums of money, they're commensurately pretty bureaucratic and heavyweight, right? So people, well, I don't need to tell you guys, but, you know, nonprofits spend a huge amount of time just dealing with grant obligations and reporting requirements and what have you. And especially when you're operating on such a small scale, the idea is, if you had enough of a trust network and you had anyone just talk to the person they're going to give money to, you may actually be able to create this very lightweight structure where the money is pretty much just given up front and there's not a whole lot of requirements on it outside of this kind of social expectation that you're going to do the project. And so the Awesome Foundation just started with a really open end like that. Basically, the idea is we got together 10 people, and what we do is each of the people in the foundation chapters gives $100 a month to support a project that, quote, forwards the interest of awesomeness in the universe, broadly speaking. And we kind of see it as kind of a micro-genius grant, right? So the idea is if you win the grant, you basically get the money and you're just off and running, right? And that money is actually given upfront. And essentially we check in with someone once the grant is awarded. And the way the submissions go is this extremely lightweight form online, which is essentially just your name, your contact information, and a free form text space for whatever kind of idea you want to put in. And that puts a little bit of a burden on the trustees to go through all the grants and filter them out each month. But
I think we do now have a form, Tim, as for how they're going to actually use the money. I think we added that in, or at least
right.
Yeah.
Right. No, and it's good actually, because one of the things that we've done is actually, so we started in Boston, but now we're all over the place. So a lot of people have taken this in various cities and run with it. So New York has, and San Francisco has. There's one in London, one starting in Melbourne potentially, one in Ottawa. So it's kind of spread out. And essentially, what we've done is we've been very flexible for chapters. Essentially, evolve the basic template as much as they want. So yeah, New York has put in a bunch of requirements, saying, well, not a bunch of requirements, but a sort of lightweight set of questions about, you know, what you'll use the money for. That's kind of the essential core of the idea. I guess to give you some sense of the sorts of things that we funded. The London chapter recently funded a plan to put stars back in the night sky of London using, you know, LEDs hooked on kites and stuff. And we've also funded a number, Boston's funded a number of sort of tech for good type projects. So we funded a project in Australia that's working to create a kind of like roll your own telephone company and the hardware to accompany it actually for deployment in case of emergencies. So essentially, he's got these little units that can be produced very cheaply that are widely distributed and form a mesh network to allow calls. New York's funded a bunch of them, though Elizabeth can definitely tell you more about the kinds of things they've funded. I remember one of them was the BioBus, which is a really cool project where I think he's an amateur scientist, basically put together this bus to do science education for kids and a specific kind of funding project with the bus. And so it's been actually a really great way because the money is small in amount. One of the big things that we provide is actually a lot of promotion and connections to people who can help out various projects, which actually ends up being a big part of the value And so often foundations often play this interesting role where we give the money, we kind of build up a connection with the person, and then we actually help them. There's a kind of a symbiotic relationship with Kickstarter where we bring a lot of attention to their posting and get them through kind of a higher sort of funding round. And so I guess that's essentially, and there's a lot of variants that people have talked about on how to improve this various sense. One of them we want to definitely experiment with is, oh, well, what if we created, you know, right now we've been spreading geographically, what if we created something that was more topic-centric, right? So people really said, oh, what if we have an awesome foundation for research or an awesome foundation for, you know, flamethrowers, like anything really, right? Like any realm of interest you'd want to kind of pump this sort of early stage funding into. The Awesome Foundation seems like a kind of a neat model for doing it that way.
I'd actually like to add a few things.
Sure, go ahead.
I should note that I've known Tim for many, many years ago, way back to Harvard and Pulitzer and so on, and I joined the New York Awesome Foundation this spring. And a few of the observations that I had when I first joined, it was funny, I asked Catherine, who's the head of the New York Foundation, I said, oh, so are you guys a 501c3? Is this tax deductible? And she responded that we essentially put cash into a paper bag. The way at least the New York group does it is truly DIY in nature. It's collaborative. And so that's one of the great things that I found so far is that, you know, everyone really does have a say into what gets funded, and often the deliberation process is the most interesting and exciting part. So what has happened more recently in the New York chapter is that we'll often narrow it down to say three people and we will not be able to decide. And what we'll find is that when we actually contact the individuals and talk to them and get an idea about their project, it generally becomes clear who the person that we should fund is. And then our Dean of Awesome, Lee Sean, will report back to us. But I think that as for Mozilla's involvement in this, one of the things that does really make a difference with the Awesome Foundation is that it is so collaborative. It's not just one monolithic grant giver or organization. You know, it is 10 individuals that really are passionate about this. This is their own money going to it, and they have a say about it. So I know that while your funding structure may be somewhat different, if there were a way of incorporating this collaborative nature, I think that could make a big difference. And then, as Tim mentioned, currently it is focused on geographical locations, with Drumbeat, I think that would be different as well, because you'd be thinking more topically. But even if Drumbeat were able to gather a committee of people in the video space or in, you know, the standard space or whatever other projects you're looking to fund that can make decisions, I think that would go a long way, such that there was some transparency to it and in a way that people would have the ability to collaboratively decide. Now, that said, it's not always the easiest procedure. We've definitely had times where people were, you know, it was like a 50-50 type scenario, but we ended up, I don't know, Tim, have you guys had that issue in Boston?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two good things working in the Austin Foundation's favor when stuff like that happens. I think one of them is when we found that happened in the Boston Foundation. It's good that people are giving away just $100, right? It's just enough to think about, but not necessarily enough that you're going to, like, you know, take a bullet for it, right? And so as a result, I think what happens actually is that a lot of people are willing to compromise over time, and kind of each trustee group over time kind of builds its own rules about kind of like how far you really want to push stuff. And then largely it does really, really work out. You know, the Boston Foundation has had the same thing where occasionally it falls out 50-50, but you know, we kind of reach consensus over time just based on, well, you know, you know, we're all giving away a little bit, so we're all inclined to take more risk on projects, which I think is actually ends up being a good thing because you fund some really cool kind of experimental stuff that wouldn't get funded otherwise.
I agree. And I do think along those lines, you know, when it comes to traditional grant giving and so on, the idea of a $1,000 grant doesn't make sense because of the overhead for the grant givers to follow up and to really... There's a reason why most grant-giving organizations give away a lot of money and not just $1,000 at a time. But that said, I do think, you know, it may be that sometimes you're going to give away $1,000 and it's not going to work out. But in the end, I mean, not that we've had any specific experience yet, but in the end, it's only, again, $1,000, so the loss wasn't that of, say, $100K or $500K. So
right.
I think there's a risk there significantly lower.
Elizabeth and Tim, that was, no pun intended, awesome. I want to leave some time. We've almost pretty much used up the time we set aside on the agenda for this item, but I want to make sure we have some time for questions and answers.
Yeah,
So does anybody have any burning questions for Elizabeth or Tim?
This is Henrik. I do.
Fire away.
Thanks. Thanks for joining. It's totally great. I was wondering if you could just go a tiny bit more in detail about the decision-making process. Like, how do you actually decide once you have, let's say, two or three projects?
Mike, people first. I don't know what should I work. What do you people first?
Brazil, could you mute, please?
Star one to mute. So, Henrik, we're looking for a little more meat on the deliberation process.
Yep.
Elizabeth or Tim?
Yeah, I can definitely speak to that. Sorry, I was just on mute, just pushing the button. I think there's two parts to it. One of them is actually, so this may work differently, I mean, if drumbeat were to be a simple system. At least within Boston, there's no kind of, since all the money is voluntary, essentially the decision-making is mostly a matter of consensus. So we occasionally take straw votes or something, but we usually only act when people have kind of assented to be on board. And generally what we found rolling up new chapters and stuff is it ends up being obviously that the trustee board kind of selection is fairly important in that respect, and as it would be in any case, but... I think, I don't know how it's working in New York, and I think Elizabeth can speak to that, but at least within Boston, the decision-making process is actually mostly we just keep going back and forth until there's a common decision or a common agreement about the things we want to fund. And occasionally what we'll do is we'll say, there's a lot of people who are, you know, second or third on the list, and often what we'll do is try to find other ways of helping them out, either by putting them in touch with people or actually even putting them in touch with other grant winners. One of the nice things we've seen come out is that it's a little bit of an investment just generally in a community, right, an investment in social capital, right? So once you invest in someone, it's kind of a nice thing because you can go back to them and say, hey, we have another grantee, could you potentially help them out? So that's at least how it's worked in Boston.
So Tim, I don't know if you guys do this, but in New York we do meet in person, and instead of hashing it out over email, we generally, it's better to get people in a room to deliberate. You guys do that as well in Boston?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the few times we've tried to do it over email has been a total...
Doesn't thing. Work that way. What we will do is we'll do the follow-up over email, which will work. So for example, let's say we've narrowed it down to two or three, and then we'll have someone call the applicants, and then we'll follow up, and that's okay, but if we have a list of 50 projects and we were to go through it over email, it just doesn't work. And by the way, we do, for New York, our Dean of Austin will send us a list of the projects and then we'll have to review them beforehand and come in with our favorites and then discuss them and then deliver it back and forth in person.
Yeah, and it's worth actually mentioning the Dean of Austin role. So like one of the things that we found that kind of spread through the chapters pretty organically is, the trustees are often very busy, but they really want to participate. So we've created a role called the Dean of Austin, and essentially... they play the role of handling a lot of the sort of administrative kind of logistics around the chapter. And it's done a world of good, actually, in keeping a lot of chapters running and active.